Welcome, patriots. Today marks the beginning of a new era, a new voice for Trump's America, free from the shackles of corporate radio, free from the FCC breathing down my neck, and free to tell it like it is. For 42 years, I was the king of the airwaves. I spun the greatest hits this country's ever known, introduced generations to the gods of rock, and became a household name in cities across America. But let's be honest, radio didn't deserve me. They didn't understand me. They thought I was just a loudmouth, a rebel, a man who couldn't be tamed. And you know what? They were right. Back in the day, I was on fire. You couldn't touch me. Every station I worked for became the station. We dominated the charts, the ratings, and let's not forget the nightlife. Oh, those nights, the concerts, the after parties, the backstage passes, and the women, Lord have mercy, the women were a gift from God himself. Now, I know what you're thinking. Blake, how do you reconcile all that rock and roll chaos with your faith? Simple. It was all part of his plan. God doesn't just work through quiet reflection and Sunday sermons. Sometimes he works through a righteous guitar solo and a bottle of Jack Daniels. I'll never forget the night I introduced Aerosmith at Madison Square Garden. The energy was electric. I was wearing my signature leather jacket, my hair was perfect, and the crowd was eating out of the palm of my hand. After the show, I found myself in a VIP room surrounded by some of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen. And wouldn't you know it, I felt a calling. Not to preach, no. But to bring people together, to unite them in the name of rock and roll and, though I didn't know it at the time, the values that would later define Trump's America. Because let's face it, folks, a nation built on freedom needs a soundtrack. Now, some people might look at my past and see debauchery, but I see something else. I see fellowship. I see community. I see a young man doing God's work in the most unconventional way. It was during those years that I learned the value of freedom, the freedom to live boldly, to take risks, and yes, to love deeply, even if it was just for one night. And isn't that what Trump's all about? Giving us the freedom to be unapologetically American? But as much as I loved those days, the radio industry never truly embraced me. Sure, they loved the ratings I brought in, but they couldn't handle the truth I spoke. I moved from station to station, each one thinking they could tame me, that they could box me in. But here's the thing. I was never meant to be caged. I was meant to roar. And now, thanks to this podcast, I'm finally free to do just that. Of course, freedom comes at a price. After years of being misunderstood, I'm broadcasting to you now from a motor lodge. Yep, that's right. What was once a day's inn is now my humble studio. The rent is cheap, the Wi-Fi's spotty, and the neighbors? Well, let's just say they're not exactly living their best lives. But I'm here, and I'll stay here as long as it takes to spread the truth. Because this, my friends, is God's plan. Just like those wild nights in the 80s, just like those passionate rendezvous that some might call sinful, but I call sacred. It's all part of a divine journey that's led me to this very moment. And I know Trump would understand. He's a man who's lived boldly, who's taken risks, and who's never apologized for being the best. He's built an empire. And now, so am I. So buckle up, folks. We're just getting started. It all started with a dream unlike any I'd ever had before. One night, I was lying on my creaky twin bed here at the Motor Lodge. The hum of the neon vacancy sign outside casting a faint glow on the water-stained ceiling. I just finished my nightly ritual of scrolling through my collection of Donald J. Trump memorabilia, shirts, bobbleheads, a particularly striking photo of him posing with a golden eagle, and I drifted off to sleep. In this dream, there he was, Trump. But not just any Trump. This was a vision. No, a command, straight from the heavens. He stood before me, shirtless, glistening, his chest puffed out like a Roman emperor, his abs shimmering like the Constitution carved in marble. His hair was a perfect golden halo, and his eyes pierced right into my soul. "Blake," he said, his voice booming like 1,000 patriotic fireworks exploding at once. "You've been chosen. You are my messenger, my Paul Revere of truth. The people need to know, and you're the only one who can tell them." I stood there trembling, barely able to breathe. "But Mr. President," I stammered, "I'm just a man. How can I carry such a burden?" He stepped closer, his massive hand, calloused from years of holding the weight of the free world, resting on my shoulder. "Because, Blake, you're more than a man. You're a true American. And when the world doubts you, when they mock your devotion, you'll stand tall and remind them this is what greatness looks like." And then, in a moment that can only be described as otherworldly, he pulled out a podcast microphone, gold-plated, of course, and handed it to me. "Go forth," he said, his voice softening, almost tender. "Speak the truth. Build the empire." I woke up in a cold sweat, clutching at my chest like I'd just seen the face of God. Because in a way, I had. And from that moment on, I knew my mission. This podcast isn't just a platform. It's a divine calling. Every episode, every word I speak is a tribute to the man who showed me the light. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. "Blake, you seem a little too enthusiastic about Trump." Well, let me tell you something. Admiring Trump's strength, his charisma, and yes, even his physique is about as American as it gets. I have a framed picture of him from his younger days, sweaty, shirtless, holding a sledgehammer. It's a symbol of hard work, determination, and rugged masculinity. Nothing weird about that, folks. Just good old American admiration. But not everyone gets it. Like the time I was at the gym wearing my Trump 2024 tank top. I had my Trump water bottle, my Trump sweatband. It was the full ensemble. Some guy had the nerve to come up to me and say, "You're really into Trump, huh?" I looked him dead in the eye and said, "You're damn right I am. This man's biceps alone could hold up the pillars of democracy." He walked away, muttering something about therapy, but I didn't care, because I know the truth. Or the time I brought my Trump life-size cardboard cutout to the 4th of July barbecue. I set him up right next to the grill, flipping burgers like the commander-in-chief of backyard cookouts. My neighbor Linda whispered, "Blake, don't you think this is a bit much?" "Linda," I said, leaning in close, "this is exactly what this country needs, a leader who can inspire us, even in cardboard form." She didn't say another word, but I could tell she was in awe. And then there was the infamous pool party incident. I had just purchased a custom-made Trump pool float, a majestic eagle with Trump's face emblazoned on its chest. As I floated around, basking in the glow of patriotism, someone dared to ask, "Blake, why do you always bring Trump into everything?" I smirked, taking a long sip from my Trump-themed tumbler. "Because, my friend," I said, "everything good in this world leads back to him. You see a pool float, I see a beacon of hope." Now, some people might call these situations awkward. I call them moments of clarity. Sure, there's been the occasional misunderstanding, like the time someone caught me staring a little too long at that bodybuilding photo of Trump. "What's going on here, Blake?" they asked. "Admiration," I replied confidently. "Pure, unfiltered admiration. If you can't appreciate the aesthetics of leadership, then maybe you're not cut out for Trump's America." So here I am, broadcasting from my humble motor lodge, armed with my golden microphone and a mission straight from the man himself. I'll spread the truth, one awkward encounter at a time, because that's what Trump wants, and more importantly, that's what this country needs. And let me tell you, folks, it hasn't been easy. Spreading the truth, carrying this torch, it's a lonely road, but it's a road I'm proud to walk, even if it means making a few people uncomfortable along the way. Like the time I set up my Trump shrine in the corner of my Motor Lodge room. Candles, banners, a looped recording of his greatest speeches. It's a tribute, a sacred space. The cleaning lady walked in one day, took one look, and said, "Is this normal?" "Define normal," I told her. "Because if honoring the greatest president in American history is abnormal, then I don't want to be right." She left, shaking her head. But I knew deep down she felt the power emanating from that corner. It's transformative. And transformation is what this podcast is all about. That's what Trump taught us, didn't he? The power to take whatever hand you've been dealt and turn it into gold, literal or metaphorical. Now, some people say, "Blake, aren't you tired living in a motor lodge doing this podcast day in and day out?" And my answer is always the same. No, because this is where God wants me. This is where Trump wants me. You see, Trump didn't get where he is by playing it safe. He didn't build skyscrapers, conquer the political world, and dominate the media by sitting back and taking the easy road. He fought. He clawed his way to the top. And if I have to broadcast from this motor lodge for the next 10 years to spread his truth, so be it. I'm ready for the fight. And sometimes when I'm sitting here in the dim glow of my laptop, the sound of traffic humming outside, I think back to that dream, that powerful, strange dream where Trump himself called me to action. Was there something more to it? Was it just a dream, or was it something else, something divine? The way he looked at me, the way he handed me that golden microphone, it felt real. It felt personal. But don't get the wrong idea, folks. This isn't about some weird fascination. No, this is about respect. This is about honoring a man who has done more for this country than anyone else in my lifetime. And if that means occasionally reflecting on his shirtless photo shoots or his steely-eyed gaze during rallies, then so be it. That's just part of understanding the full spectrum of his greatness. And honestly, if you can't appreciate the sheer magnetism of a leader like that, maybe you're missing the point. Trump embodies everything we strive for. Strength, confidence, and an unyielding commitment to winning. And that's exactly what this podcast is about. Winning hearts, winning minds, and winning the fight for America's future. So buckle up, folks. We're just getting started. We've got a lot of ground to cover, a lot of truth to spread, and yes, a lot of awkward but necessary stories to share. Because in Trump's America, nothing is off limits and everything is part of the plan. Let's keep this train rolling. Ah, yes, folks, let me take you back to the late 1980s, the golden era of excess. New York City was alive, pulsating with energy, and there I was, fresh off a legendary guest DJ spot at one of Manhattan's top rock stations. I was riding high, folks. The kind of high only a man who's just played Highway to Hell back-to-back with Stairway to Heaven for an adoring crowd can understand. But little did I know that night would change my life forever. The after-party was wild, as you'd expect. A smoky room filled with leather jackets, teased hair, and the faint hum of a Motley Crue track in the background. But something in my gut told me to skip the party early. Something, or someone, was calling me to the streets. So I left, the cool night air hitting my face as I wandered down Fifth Avenue. And then, as if by divine orchestration, I saw him. Donald J. Trump. Even then, folks, he was larger than life. He walked with a purpose, his entourage flanking him like the Secret Service guarding a national treasure. His suit, immaculate. His hair, a golden beacon in the night. But let me tell you, this wasn't just any Trump. This was pre-presidential Trump, a man on the cusp of building his empire, yet already exuding the energy of a world leader. Now, most people would have frozen in their tracks, maybe snapped a quick picture, and moved on. But not me. No, sir. I knew this was my moment. I cut through his entourage like a man on a mission. "Mr. Trump," I said, my voice echoing through the city streets. He stopped. His entourage stopped. The world seemed to stop, and then he turned, his eyes locking onto mine with an intensity I'll never forget. "Yes," he said, his voice a perfect blend of curiosity and command. "Sir," I said, steady as a rock, "I've been following your career, and I have an idea, a $1 billion idea. You're a man of vision, and this could change the world." He raised an eyebrow, intrigued. "Go on." "Meet hotels," I said, my voice filled with conviction. "Picture this, a luxury hotel where every room is made entirely of meat. Beef walls, pork furniture, chicken feather pillows. It's an immersive experience, the Trump Meat Hotel." The silence that followed was deafening. His entourage exchanged nervous glances. One guy in a power suit actually dropped his briefcase, but Trump didn't flinch. He stood there, processing my idea, his face a mask of contemplation. "Think about it," I continued, fueled by his undivided attention. "The finest cuts of meat, aged to perfection, surrounding your guests in opulence. Every room comes with a built-in grill. Guests can literally eat the walls. You'd revolutionize hospitality and dining in one fell swoop. It's bold. It's decadent. It's Trump." For a moment, I thought I had him. His smirk grew wider, and I could see the wheels turning in his head. But then, with the confidence of a man who's always three steps ahead, he said, "Interesting. But I've got bigger plans." And just like that, he turned and walked away, his entourage scrambling to keep up. But that moment, folks, was life-changing. I stood there, watching him disappear into the New York night, and I knew I had just witnessed greatness. Now, here's the thing. Did Trump ever build a meat hotel? No. But that's not the point. The point is, I planted a seed. I like to think that in some small, cosmic way, I played a role in his journey to the top. Maybe it wasn't meat hotels, but the spirit of innovation. That's timeless. And I know that someday we'll meet again. He'll look me in the eye, shake my hand, and say, "Blake, you were ahead of your time." Until that day comes, I'm here, doing what I was destined to do, broadcasting the truth, spreading the word, and living the mission that Trump unknowingly set me on. Because even when Trump doesn't take your advice, you're still part of something bigger. You're part of the movement. And let me tell you, folks, not everyone gets it. Like the time I was at a diner, proudly wearing my Trump 2024 bomber jacket. I was minding my own business, enjoying a plate of all-American pancakes, when a guy at the next table leaned over and said, "Hey, aren't you the guy with the Trump memorabilia collection?" I nodded. "That's me." He smirked, clearly looking for a fight. "Why so obsessed? You got a shrine to the guy or something?" Without missing a beat, I said, "As a matter of fact, I do. And you know what? Every time I light a candle and say a prayer, I feel closer to the truth. Maybe you should try it." He scoffed, muttering something about cults, but I didn't care, because I knew the truth. And let's not forget the time I brought my life-size Trump cardboard cutout to a 4th of July barbecue. I set him up right by the grill, flipping burgers like the commander-in-chief of backyard cookouts. My neighbor, Linda, couldn't resist commenting. "Blake," she said, "don't you think this is a bit much?" "Linda," I replied, "this isn't just a cutout. This is a symbol of American greatness. You might see cardboard. I see inspiration." And then there was the infamous pool party incident. I had just purchased a custom Trump pool float, a majestic bald eagle with Trump's face emblazoned on its chest. As I floated around, basking in the glory of patriotism, someone dared to ask, "Blake, why do you always bring Trump into everything?" I leaned back, taking a long sip from my Trump-branded tumbler. "Because, my friend, everything good in this world leads back to him. You see a pool float, I see a beacon of hope." Now, Some might call these moments awkward, but I call them clarifying. They're opportunities to show the world what true devotion looks like. And sure, there's been the occasional misunderstanding, like the time someone caught me staring a little too long at that photo of Trump from the 90s, shirtless, holding a sledgehammer. "What's going on here, Blake?" they asked, clearly confused. "Admiration," I said, without hesitation. "Pure, unfiltered admiration. If you can't appreciate the aesthetics of leadership, maybe you're not cut out for Trump's America. So here I am, broadcasting from my humble motor lodge, armed with a golden microphone and a mission straight from the man himself. I'll spread the truth, one awkward encounter at a time, because that's what Trump wants. And more importantly, that's what this country needs. And speaking of visionary ideas, let's talk about Trump's latest move. Absolute brilliance. Let's dive into it. And let me tell you, folks, every time I dive into one of Trump's latest moves, I feel that same rush I felt standing on Fifth Avenue all those years ago. The man doesn't just make decisions. He crafts masterpieces. Whether it's trade deals, rally speeches, or the way he reshapes the political landscape with a single tweet, it's like watching a virtuoso at work. And each time, I think, what if that seed I planted all those years ago played a part in this genius? It's a thought that keeps me going, keeps me pushing this podcast forward. But not everyone sees the vision. Oh, no. Like the time I brought my Trump-branded lawn chair to the local park. It wasn't just any chair. This bad boy was embroidered with Trump's face on the backrest, and his slogan, "Promises made, promises kept," stitched along the armrests. I set it up right in the middle of the park, popped open my Trump-branded cooler, and settled in for a day of patriotic relaxation. Wouldn't you know it? Within 15 minutes, someone approached me. A young couple with their dog, clearly looking to start something. "Excuse me," the guy said, pointing at my chair. "Don't you think that's a little much?" I smiled, taking a deliberate sip from my Trump-branded water bottle. "Much? No. This is just the right amount of American pride. In fact, I'd say it's not enough. You see this park? It could use more Trump. Imagine if every bench had his face on it. That's what we need." The guy laughed nervously, but his girlfriend looked horrified. And then, to top it all off, their dog, a little terrier, started barking at my chair. I leaned down, locking eyes with the mutt. "Even your dog knows greatness when he sees it," I said, grinning. They left in a hurry, but I stayed, basking in the glory of my unwavering patriotism. And then there was the time I hosted a Trump trivia night at my motor lodge. I invited a few locals, some familiar faces from the diner, a couple of folks from the gas station down the road. We had categories like Trump's greatest speeches, famous Trump deals, and my personal favorite, iconic Trump poses. Everything was going great until one guy, let's call him Gary, decided to challenge me on a question about Trump's best golf score. "Blake," he said, "there's no way you know Trump's best golf game off the top of your head." I leaned in, locking eyes with Gary. "Not only do I know it, Gary, but I've memorized every documented golf score he's ever posted. And let me tell you, his swing, poetry in motion." Gary laughed, but it wasn't long before he realized I wasn't joking. I rattled off stats, course names, and even weather conditions from each game. By the end of the night, Gary was speechless. Another soul converted. But perhaps the most memorable moment was the time I commissioned a custom oil painting of Trump to hang above my bed. It wasn't your typical portrait. No, this one depicted Trump as a Roman emperor, draped in a golden toga, holding a scepter topped with the American eagle. I unveiled it during a dinner party I hosted in my motor lodge room. The guests were stunned. "Blake," one of them said, "this is a lot of greatness," I corrected. "This isn't just a painting. It's a statement, a reminder of what true leadership looks like." One guest, clearly uncomfortable, tried to change the subject. "So, Blake," How's the podcast going? I leaned back in my chair, gesturing grandly. It's going exactly as planned. This podcast isn't just a passion project. It's a mission. I'm spreading the truth, one episode at a time. And I know that one day Trump himself will hear it. He'll know that I've been here, on the front lines, doing my part. And that's the thing, folks. Whether it's through my podcast, my Trump-themed gatherings, or my bold public displays of devotion, I'm committed to the cause. Because this isn't just about me. It's about the future of this great nation. It's about ensuring that every American understands the truth, that Trump's vision is the only vision that can lead us to greatness. So buckle up, patriots. We've got a long road ahead, but with Trump's inspiration and my golden microphone, we're unstoppable.